Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Jordan is on best. Harper's on Miller.
Welcome to another edition of the Indy Cornrows Podcast. I'm your host, Mark Schindler. As always, before we get started, if you have not already, please be sure to rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts. That really helps us out. We're getting pretty close to 50 reviews here, Tom. So if you guys haven't already, go do that. Maybe something will happen if you hit 50. I don't know. We'll find out. Of course, Merry Christmas to you guys. I hope you guys all had a great Christmas. Tom, first of all, how are you doing? How was your Christmas?
Doing well. Enjoyed getting another win here and had a great Christmas. Thank you. Can't complain.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, as Kristen Airy pointed out towards the end of the broadcast, this is the first time that the Pacers have started the season 2-0, which is, this is a wild stat, since the 13-14 season.
Yeah, that's crazy. So,
yeah, crazy in the fact that they haven't started 2-0 since then, which is kind of wild to think about. But they are normally kind of a slow starting team a little bit, yep. I guess, if you know, but I don't know. I had a lot of thoughts off of this game, not anything like groundbreaking. First thing though, I think the game, who would you give the game ball to? Because I think game ball pretty easily goes to TJ McConnell. You know, not the craziest stat line, but he had the three steals right off the inbounds, which kind of spurred that massive 21-0 run the bench unit went on. And what kind of stands out about that for me is if I counted it up correctly, the bench unit played 9 minutes together without a sub, which is just kind of the exact opposite of what we're used to from the McMillan era. You know, everything in the McMillan era was regimented. All the minutes were going to happen a certain way. And Nate Bjorker's just letting guys run. What are your thoughts on that so far?
Yeah, I honestly, for a minute, I thought he was just going to leave him out until the half ended. But, they got the, 21-0 run going. And I think, you know, McConnell had the three steals, the Holidays combined for four more. And, you know, the first thing I was thinking of, because, you know, not only are they, you know, applying pressure full court and actually getting a couple steals out of that, but then once the Bulls are coming across half court, they're jumping past the lanes and getting more steals. And you know, harking back to the, you know, first press conference, introductory press conference with Bjorkgren, and he talked about just wanting this team to be disruptive defensively. And I was like, that's disruptive. You know, we have the concerns about the pressure out of the perimeter and what happens if it doesn't, you know, work, you get burnt. But, man, when it's going, that's the result. And, you know, it was interesting also just to see the Bulls kind of transform and because, you know, right at the outset of the game, they were hitting shots and looking pretty comfortable. And then at that point, it looked like any shot they took was not comfortable and they were being rushed or really out of the game and couldn't get anything going. So that was a really fun stretch of basketball to watch, no matter who the opponent was.
Yeah, I agree. So just to quantify a little bit, the Bulls went 3 of 24 outside the paint and in between the 3-point arc. So obviously, I mean, that was killer for them. Pacers shot really well from there today. I don't know. The one question I do have, that is, I don't want to say it's plaguing me, but it's something I really want to keep note of for the next couple games, especially against the Celtics, as they're going to be a better team. you know, again, I don't want to say worried because it's too early to be worried. And also it's just, you know, thinking out loud. The team really gassed themselves out. And you could see in that fourth quarter. So I wonder, you know, do you think that part of the and we've seen this in all the games, we've noted it, them getting tired in, you know, the third, fourth quarter after playing this, you know, really aggressive ball pressure defense, just kind of going all out. I mean, the sets weren't as dynamic, like there wasn't as much movement. I felt like the offense kind of died down once it wasn't coming off of turnovers and in transition. And obviously the defense kind of opened up the floodgates a little bit for, at least in the fourth quarter, they got blown out in the fourth quarter. And obviously, I mean, the game was so far apart, it didn't matter, but you know, I was just thinking about this. Okay. If you're playing a team like Boston and you're tied, you go on that run, but then, okay, say you're not going on a 21 point run against the Celtics, at least most likely you're not, right? So say you're up like five or something after a pretty good run put together. And then your team gasses out for like that 6 or 7 minute stretch like the Pacers do. Well, that could be double digit deficit against a team that's better. So I don't know. That was something that I'm thinking about. I definitely am going to be looking for moving forward. But I was wondering what you're thinking about that.
Wasn't a concern tonight for sure, just because
I know I'm definitely thinking ahead a little bit too much with it.
And then we had the 19-0. I mean, they were up by 30. So it was more not, I felt like more not gassing out, but more like taking your foot off the gas in that sense. But the other thing that was interesting with this Bulls team, just because, you know, they've had, you know, they've gotten thumped twice pretty much. But, I mean, they're playing those young guys and starting them. And then the guys they have on the bench are actually veteran, you know, kind of more old pro type guys, you know, who can play. And they're at the end, when they were making that little run, it was like, well, yeah, these guys probably would have a little more success in the immediate future playing together more. But, you know, obviously the Bulls are looking ahead and playing their young guys more and having them more of a focal point. So, you know, there was the bench, but as far as those guys making a run, they're just getting their opportunity and playing hard. And the Pacers were just trying to finish the thing out. So I don't know if it was an exhaustion thing and they were able to, you know, kick it back into gear and finish them off. So, you know, I guess, I don't think it was that big of a deal in this game. So,
I'm definitely thinking too far ahead. I just think it's something, you know, I remember talking with Caitlin about this, but we've noticed, you know, the pace really dies down as the quarters go on. So that's something, it's just something I want to keep note of.
Yeah.
And I can't believe I said, I mean, TJ McConnell had himself a good game. Vic was awesome tonight. Vic, two back-to-back 22-point games to open up the season. He looked incredible tonight from three, and he had a couple of nice drives to the rim. He really wasn't driving to the rim a ton. He was doing a lot of stuff just from his pull-up game from mid-range. Obviously, 5 of 5 from three, played really solid defense. Actually, I mean, Zach LaVine had a pretty off game today. So I don't know. It was actually funny. I hardly even noticed Zach LaVine was out there because of how well Vic was playing on him. But what were your thoughts on Vic today? Because I thought he looked great. He continues to look. I think the way that I want to put it, his burst is back. So like going, you know, just obviously ground bound, you know, going north, south, his burst is there most of the way. But the explosion is still, you know, kind of what we're waiting to see on him getting some more vertical pop again. But regardless, I mean, the way that he's moving, he felt like he was probably like 70% going north, south in the bubble, and he's back to like 95% of what he was.
Yeah, I mean, the only, you know, that you would have to pick with him is just the handle and being loose with the ball still once in a while. But he doesn't need to be dribbling that much with the role he's playing right now. And he really saved the day from behind the arc, making all five of his threes. So, you know, having him, I mean, almost like a guy lying in the weeds, because you had TJ Warren going there, and then of course the bonus got going, and it's like, you know, Brogdon's finishing, making shots, and you know, Oladipo doesn't look like a number one option out there, but man, you leave him alone, he's gonna kill you. And that is really nice to see. And like you say, he's getting in there. I love, I'm pretty sure I said in the third quarter, he's kind of running together now, but ball on the floor, he's diving on it, getting it going the other way. When, I mean, the game was over at that point, or at least it felt like it. I really like what we're seeing from him, and you know, once again, they get three guys scoring 20 points. So Vic's definitely came ready to play and get his buckets, but it's like he's not, you know, trying to be an overwhelming presence there on the offense. He's getting it where he can and taking advantage of his opportunities.
Yeah, I agree. Everything just felt very in the flow for him. Wasn't forcing anything, which is promising because, you know, that was something that was an issue in the bubble. So it's cool seeing him take this. Yeah. I don't want to say backseat, but he's really just focusing on doing things that are working. TJ obviously had a really good game today too. Got going early, and it just, as always, you know, the really quiet 23 points. Like, you just look at the scoreboard and you're like, yes. Oh, TJ did it again. Yeah. Did not hit a three. He actually passed up on a couple threes that I was a little bit surprised at. But overall, I thought he looked really good. I thought he played a lot better defensively too, as well today. Domas, of course. I mean, gosh, the whole team played well. Domas had a great game. What do you think about the free throw shooting? He is not shooting well from the free throw line this year. Just kind of jitters a little bit.
I don't know. He always seems to miss I feel like he always misses one out of at least three. But he's the good thing is he's getting to the line playing. So hopefully he'll still find that rhythm there and be able to shoot at a little higher clip. But I mean, he's just a monster in there. Talk about gravity. I mean, that guy just,
yeah.
When they have the ball and they're into the floor, it's like, it seems like everything is absolutely running through him. Nothing moves without him. You got to know where he is. Otherwise, he's just going to pound you.
Yeah, 100%. And I thought, obviously he was killing it on the inside, but also what he was doing to open up the game for both Malcolm and Victor was huge too. I mean, his screening, of course, we can always hammer that home and how important it's been. Actually, I wanted to hit too. Do you think he's been a little bit better defensively this year? I thought just to start, I think part of it's been maybe the defensive scheme being helpful for him because he's not being, thrown into having to guard guard as the low man and rotate over the weak corner again because he's not good enough. I mean, he's not quick enough to do that. But I don't know. I felt like the ball pressure has really been helpful for him in terms of, and he's been a lot better in help defense, I felt, this year. I could be wrong on that, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
I mean, it feels that way. I mean, definitely it feels like he's in a more comfortable role out there defensively. And I still like, he and Turner out there look real good together. I mean, Turner's, got another four blocks tonight. Wasn't great offensively otherwise, but, still had a solid game. And having him in there around the rim and being able to play with that second unit a little bit has been helpful. But I agree. I think that Sabonis, I don't know. I mean, I guess he does a better job just keeping in front of his guy and focusing on that. And he's still getting to the glass and rebounding pretty well. They had a decent night rebounding. All around, I mean, you can't complain about what Sabonis is delivering, that's for sure.
This is advertiser content brought to you by Frito-Lay.
Hello, I'm Chip Murphy, here to get you ready for the big tournament. Tonight, we break down who will be cutting. Cut! What are you two doing?
Sorry, Chip. Prez here got his feathers ruffled when I told him Ruffles has zero chance of winning the title.
And I was letting Dip know that she is not taking into account Ruffles' iconic ridges.
Guys, it's March. We have to start talking about the tournament.
We are. It is the 2023 Frito-Lay Snack It.
We're talking about big-time matchups between Cheetos, Smartfood, Lay's, Sun Chips, and more.
Just head to the Frito-Lay Snack Bracket and vote for your favorite chip, pretzel, or dip for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks.
This sounds great. Keep up the good work.
Just go to Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends 4-3-2023. Void where prohibited. Here's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at Frito-LaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Yeah, 100%. Actually, okay, so I don't want to say you're wrong. I mean, Miles definitely, he missed a couple shots that weren't like perfect, but I don't know. I'm feeling really good about him offensively. I thought, I tweeted this out today. One of the things I've really liked, he's been a lot more aggressive in cutting to the rim, you know, and following on drives, he's been really good at, and just some more intuitive cuts too have really worked out for me. Had that lob, towards the end of the game, and which that was off of like more of a actual set play, but just in terms of him actually coming to the rim, because, you know, the last couple of years we've been so used to seeing him like, he kind of rolls like halfway to the rim and then stops at the free throw line for like a random jumper. And so it's been nice seeing that. And we had like, I think it was that totally broken play in the fourth quarter. Vic drives in, passes back to Domas. Oh, yeah. And Domas does that pass.
Flip
that
back.
Yes, that you would totally get yelled at if you did that in high school, off his feet. And Miles just came in, had that really nice runner in the lane. I don't know. I just feel like in terms of, you know, the box score is not different. But what he's doing offensively, he just feels a lot less clunky, because so many times last year, his decision making just seems like he's not really sure what he's doing out there. Not even that he's not, he just isn't sure what to do in the confines of the offense, or he's questioning what to do in the confines of the offense, I should say. But now it just feels like he's like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I know what my reads are. Again, these are against, you know, two teams that are probably not going to be in the playoffs, but I still think it's an encouraging sign. I've really liked it. And both, were hesitant. He didn't hesitate.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Awesome. I mean, he definitely looks more comfortable out there for sure. I mean, he really did first game, and he just had a couple of shots early in the game that were just, you know, short-armed, and it's like, uh-oh. You always get the Quinn Buckman. Oh, that's a really good play. Miles just missed a shot. Yeah.
Yes, so, exactly.
But yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, his impact just being in there, I'm telling you, he's the way this defense is playing and leaving, you know, he's got these opportunities. Those block shot numbers are going to be something.
Well, yeah, he's small sample size, but he's currently blocking 6 shots a game, which that's pretty good. So I definitely won't. It's obviously not going to finish that high, but I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe can only hope. But no, it's funny, because I think a lot of it was made about you know, when Miles was out those first two games, or second two games, I should say, with the ball pressure defense, like about maybe it was set up. With the idea of just having Domas out there. And I think there's probably still some validity to that, but I'd also say they really couldn't be pressuring the ball quite the way they are if Miles wasn't out there. It would be, at least it would be tougher too. He's been cleaning up so much on the back end. He's been letting them be able to gamble more, which I still think, do you think they're going to continue that kind of the whole season? I know that's 70 more games. That's a lot for me to ask right now. What are your thoughts just in general on that being able to be something that is kind of the basis for the whole season?
Oh, I'm sure that's the plan. I'm sure that's the hope. And, you know, talked about maybe wearing the Pacers out, but I mean, I think the ultimate goal is to wear out that other team. And I thought that worked out well tonight for sure. You know, with Domas and Miles in there, I feel like they're definitely more risk, you know, more prone to take some risks and with the pressure, just because he's been so good cleaning up around the rim. It's kind of nice. You got the garbage man cleaning up and TJ Warren on the offensive end, and then you got Miles on the defensive end doing the cleanup. So it's a good mix. The other thing I really enjoyed tonight, just randomly or out of bounds plays from all over the place.
Yeah, the out of bounds plays were killer.
Whether they're out of timeouts or just in the flow of the game, there were several where it's just fun watching the action and then seeing it develop and boom, ball at the bucket or open shot in the corner, you know. So not, you know, constantly running the same thing and a little variety and you never know what's going to come next. So that's been a nice treat here in these first couple of games. But tonight, especially, it seemed to show up several times. That was really fun.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I don't think it's a stretch to say that in a 5-game sample size, we've seen better ATOs and slob plays than we saw all of last year. I think we've scored on more of them than, I think the Pacers scored on more of them, which is reductive, but you know, it doesn't seem wrong. But yeah, no, it felt like almost every single one was perfectly set up and went through. The only other question I had that I wanted to ask you before we get out of here, what are your thoughts so far on only playing 9 guys? You know, I thought it's been the same rotation as last year. I guess we could say we were expecting maybe a little bit more in terms of, you know, finding a few guys to throw out in the middle of a game just to get different looks out there, test that out. The team's 2-0 right now. They've played really well. Coach Bjorkman's getting a lot of really good looks at the lineups he's running. But I have kind of wondered about that just in terms of, you know, whether or not that's something that the Pacers will maybe be doing moving forward. Because that was mentioned, you know, obviously Goga's not there. So yeah, that's maybe one of the wrinkles that you would expect because he's injured right now. But I don't know. Just something that I was thinking about.
And tonight, you know, Goga would have helped because of all the foul trouble with Sabonis and Turner there at one point. Yeah. They're playing Justin Holiday at center. So, but I think, and also Ed Sumner being sick.
Yeah.
Is also another guy who would think maybe in that mix once in a while. I do think at some point in certain games, you know, Akeelah Martin and Jakar Sampson, those guys will probably get in there as well. But, you know, they're still new. with Bjorkman, and they're still trying to develop his system and everything. So I think on some level it makes sense to make sure those guys that you're going to lean on the most get the reps while they can right now. Now we got the back-to-back tomorrow, so we'll see how that impacts things. Bjorkman didn't commit before the game to Oladipo playing again. I'm sure it will depend on how he feels. I thought for a while there they weren't even going to have to put the starters back in there.
Yeah, he played the least out of starters tonight, I believe. Yeah, he played less than Miles even, but only by 10 seconds. But still, noteworthy. He played only 25 minutes. So, it's possible. I personally, I don't know. I don't know if he'll play tomorrow. If I had a bet on it, I would say no, he doesn't play tomorrow, and he plays on Monday instead. Not Monday, Tuesday instead. But we'll see on that.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he didn't answer that, you know, pretty direct question one way or the other, you know, means to me, leaning towards he probably won't play. But we'll see. I mean, they got, 3 games in 5 days. So, after this, you know, back-to-back. So there's, you know, now we're starting to get the season flow going and different circumstances popping up here. So that's, I think, when you'll see how deep he's willing to go in that rotation from night to night.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, hopefully we get to see Cassius Stanley try and kill the rim a couple more times. That was exciting. I think the ref kind of chewed him out
I think he heard about it from the Bulls and then the ref, and then it's like,
yeah, no, that's what I was immediately when I saw it, I was like, wow, I'm kind of surprised to see the ref pull him aside for that. But yeah. I mean, he's a rookie, he's doing his thing. I'll never forget, I don't know if you remember, this is from like forever ago, it was during I think the first Durant season with Golden State. And Jordan Bell was still, I think Jordan Bell was a rookie, and he threw out a 360 tomahawk. I think they were up like 35, and he threw one down off a breakaway with like 40 seconds left, and he got teed up, and Steve Kerr just like totally chewed him out. But yeah, I'll never forget that.
Not
yeah.
the time and place.
Yeah. I honestly don't mind. I think if you don't want to get that thrown down, that, then yeah. you shouldn't be down 35.
We still all the bowls, a few dozen.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's kind of where I'm at, but it's just yeah. it's just basketball. It's not like, yeah. But regardless, so last thing, what are you kind of looking forward to for tomorrow? Anything that's sticking out that you're definitely gonna be noting for in the Celtics series? I guess it's an entire series, which is My first thing right away. I'm excited to see it be like a series. That would be kind of cool, like a little big playoff series.
Yeah, and obviously the Celtics have plenty of firepower, even without Kemba. thank you. But there's still going to be matchup problems all over the place, and it'll be, again, this is a chance maybe for the Pacers' depth that we talked about, where we got, a lot of really good guys, and if they can use that to their advantage. And you go into a situation like this, you got these two games against the Celtics, you're hoping for at least a split, right?
Yeah.
Coming out even, but I think this first game will really tell us a lot about the Pacers. Now obviously they're coming off a back-to-back, but it's a quick trip from Chicago, and again, they were able to spread the minutes out pretty well tonight, so it's going to be just a good matchup, and it'll be a good measuring stick after the Knicks and the Bulls, to see where the Pacers stand, and I'm sure they're looking forward to the challenge as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think in watching the Celtics a couple times already, obviously, Jason Tatum is really good. He has not gone to the free throw line once in two games, which is wild. I personally think that he should have gotten there a couple times in the game against Brooklyn. But regardless, Jason Tatum is going to be Jason Tatum will be the best player on the court in the game tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to me too, because Jaylen Brown has looked really darn good to start the year as well. So it'll be interesting. They have. Obviously, the Pacers have TJ. I'm sure TJ will draw the assignment on Jason, just because who else is going to guard Jason Tatum, just size-wise and trying to keep with him. But then who's guarding Jaylen Brown? Because there's no one else that's really like size on the team that's going to – maybe Malcolm will get him. I don't want to besmirch Vic, but I think that's asking a lot out of Vic for an entire game to guard somebody who's 2 inches taller than him, not weighs him by probably –
especially when we're not sure he's even going to play.
Exactly. So – and even for Justin Holiday, that's a tough cover for the whole game. So I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But like you mentioned, the bench unit's going to be huge against the Celtics, because the Celtics bench is currently non-existent. Shemi Ojeleye played like 10 or 11 minutes yesterday. And as much as I loved Shemi Ojeleye, he's one of the guys who I thought was going to be awesome coming out of the draft. Has not worked out, but he has a perfectly sculpted biceps, which I always appreciate. Because I like think of myself as having perfectly sculpted biceps, Tom. But I don't know. There's going to be a lot to look forward to tomorrow, and see how it plays out on Tuesday too.
Can't wait.
Yeah, definitely. To everyone listening, of course, thank you for listening. We will be coming at you with another podcast tomorrow night after the game close. Have some stuff coming out Monday too. Basically, we're in full season swing, so expect stuff pretty much every day. thank you for listening. Have a good rest of your day. Hope you had a great holiday, and we'll be catching you later.